As we continue our study of the inspiration of the Scriptures, I say once again, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is, present tense, given by inspiration of God. Now, I want for us to consider the word-for-word inspiration theory, or it's often called the dictation theory, and even as I pointed out, A.A. Hodge and others have negatively labeled this the mechanical theory of inspiration. Dictation theory, or word-for-word inspiration, believes that God the Holy Spirit gave the writers of the Bible the exact words, we would say verbatim, to write in the entire Bible. Again, we say as fundamental Baptists that we believe verbal plenary inspiration. Now, mechanical dictation is not a good term to use this, since God did not dictate His words to a machine. God was not dictating to a machine. As a secretary, in essence, records things from an executive, we understand this process here. God gave Jeremiah the very words that he was to write down. Isaiah, as we saw again the example, was given the very words that God the Holy Spirit wanted written down. If one believes in verbal inspiration, then I believe of necessity we must believe in word-for-word inspiration. Otherwise, we believe in a concept plenary inspiration. As you understand this, God gave the exact words found in the Bible. Verbal plenary inspiration. You cannot have it both ways. As you understand this, dictation theory of inspiration believes that the Scriptures given by inspiration are a copy of the eternal Word in heaven. Psalm 119 verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled, did it say on earth? Notice the preservation of this inspiration process, forever it's settled in heaven. All right, so if it's in heaven, then we have an earthly copy here that I believe we can trust. Verse 152, Psalm 119, verse 152. Concerning Thy testimonies, I have known of old that Thou hast founded them forever. They are founded forever. None will be lost. That's preservation. And I believe inspiration and preservation, but of necessity, go hand in hand, as we'll consider in our next study. But you notice here, writers of Scripture did not choose to write the Bible. Let me say that again, remind you again. Holy men of God spake, notice they spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Writers of Scripture did not choose to write the Scriptures. Peter, the Apostle Paul, Luke, and various ones did not sit down one day and say, I think I'm going to write the Word of God. I believe the Holy Spirit moved upon them to write the exact words of Scripture. Now, the men used to write Scripture were passive, like a pen. Many times people in opposition to this word-for-word inspiration will say, well, what about the various literary styles in Scripture? Does that not prove that God superintended the writing of Scripture using their personalities? Well, let me point out this illustration of this. That's if you have different style of pens. You have a calligraphy pen, a felt tip pen, a ballpoint. Each one of those pens will have a slightly different style. I believe that's how you explain the different styles found in Scripture. The Holy Ghost is the author of Scripture. And the Holy Ghost used holy men of God, various pens, to record Scripture. The exact words of Scripture. Now, the men used, again, were passive like a pen. For example, Psalm 45, verse 1 says, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. What in the world does that mean? My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Holy men of God spake as the Holy Ghost moved upon them. He moved them to speak various things. God gave Jeremiah various words to write, to speak so that Barak could write. Isaiah, various ones. Let me give you this quote from A.H. Strong. "This theory holds that inspiration consisted in such a possession of the mind and bodies of the scripture writers by the Holy Spirit that they become passive instruments or amanuenses, the pens, not the penmen of God," end quote. In other words, they became pens, writing instruments of God. Let me say that again. They were driven along. They were moved by the Holy Ghost. So again, writing style is like the difference of different styles of pens. The author of Scripture is the Holy Spirit, not men. I often hear preachers and theologians say that the author of a particular book, for example, 1 Thessalonians, is the Apostle Paul. That is error. The author of Scripture is the Holy Ghost. The one that the Holy Ghost used to write Scripture was the Apostle Paul. Notice here what he says about this in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us," notice the word of God that was spoken through the Apostle Paul's mouth, "ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God," which effectively, that's what that word means, "effectually worketh also in you that believe." So he spoke the very words of God. Notice with me Acts chapter 1, verse 16. Acts chapter 1, verse 16. Again, I want for us to see that Scripture tells us the process by which God gave us His words. Word for word, inspiration. Acts 1:16. "Men and brethren, this Scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus." Notice, the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake. He gave him the words. Individual words, not just the concepts. Chapter 3, verse 18. "But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all His prophets that Christ should suffer, He has so fulfilled." God has spoken His word and fulfilled it. Verse 21. "Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began." Since the world began, Abel was a prophet of God. He spoke the words of God. Chapter 4, Acts chapter 4, verse 25. "Who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things?" Psalm 2. You notice here, by the mouth of God's servant David, God spoke. So we see here again, the author of Scripture is the Holy Spirit, not men. Notice with me, 2 Samuel 23, verse 2. 2 Samuel 23 and verse 2. Here we see the example of David once again speaking. We have a statement here. "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue." My tongue was the pen of a ready writer, it says in Psalm 45, verse 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 70. Luke chapter 1 and verse 70. Again, we see a statement here about the words of God. And God speaking by the mouth, it says in Luke 1:70, "And He spake by the mouth of His holy prophets, which have been since the world began." The author of Scripture is the Holy Spirit, not men. God spoke His words. God spoke His words through the mouth of these prophets. Now let me give you another evidence of word-for-word inspiration. Often Old Testament prophets did not understand what they were writing. Now let me point out here, as we look at some passages in Daniel, Notice with me, first of all, Daniel chapter 7. Let me point out here that if they did not understand these things, then how did God the Holy Spirit superintend them so that they wrote in their own words the concepts that God was giving them? If they didn't understand it, how did they write these things in their own words? God had to give them the exact words. Daniel chapter 7, verse 15. Daniel chapter 7, verse 15. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. All right, so he's been given this revelation by the Spirit of God, and he doesn't understand it. It's troubling to him. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. How could he write these things if they were so unclear to him that they troubled him? Unless God gave him the exact words to write. Daniel chapter 8, verse 27. Daniel 8, 27. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. After that, I rose up and did the king's business. And I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. So notice here, there are many things that Daniel was given that he did not fully understand. He was given the message, but he could not understand it. Daniel 12, verses 8 and 9. And I heard, but I understood not. All right, so he heard it, so he could write it down, but he didn't understand it. That had to be the exact words then, if he didn't understand it. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. I believe that seal is broken in the book of Revelation. 1 Peter chapter 1. I want you to notice again this passage in relation to the prophets who were revealing things, who were given things related to us and our salvation. 1 Peter 1, 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. They did not experience it the same way as we did. Because we're looking back to Christ, they were looking forward. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify. Notice that they could not understand it. The Spirit of Christ, which was in them, gave them these things. And let me point out again, if they did not understand it, then how did they write it in their own words? Under the superintendence of the Holy Spirit. How could they write about something intelligently that they did not understand? Of necessity, we see that God the Spirit gave them, had to give them the exact words of the Bible. Now let me point out here exceptions to dictation. There are some who will use 1 Corinthians chapter 7 as evidence that God did not dictate His words to man, to His prophets and apostles. Counter to that, as I've done some reading on this, the exception in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 actually confirms the rule. Notice here, exceptions to dictation actually supports the dictation view of inspiration. Why? Because there's distinctions made. I want you to notice these in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 6. But I speak this by permission and not of commandment. So as Paul is writing some of these things, he says, I speak this by permission and not of commandment. Verse 10. Unto the married, I command, yet not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband. Verse 12 then. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. Notice then also verse 25. Verse 25. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord. Alright, so the Lord didn't give him a commandment concerning virgins. Yet I give my judgment, as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. Verse 40. But she is happier if she abide after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. Here's what I believe happens in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. As God is giving the words of the first epistle to the Corinthians, by the way, there were more than two epistles to the Corinthian church. There were only two that were inspired by God. Again, I believe that's another evidence of this. But you notice here, the distinction that is made actually supports the dictation view. As Paul is writing these things under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit actually superintends some of these thoughts that Paul is interjecting. So it's word for word until we have these exceptions, distinctions that are made. Now, many attribute the rise of liberalism to a removal of inspiration by dictation. Let me give you an example of a quote from Harry Emerson Fosdick from the book The Modern Use of the Bible. Here he says, "Our ideas of the method of inspiration have changed." Did you hear that? "Our ideas of the method of inspiration have changed. Verbal dictation, inerrant manuscripts, uniformity of doctrine between 1000 BC and 70 AD, all such ideas have become incredible in the face of the facts." End quote. Here's this liberal writing about the modern use of the Bible. He says that our ideas of the method of inspiration have changed. And as soon as that has changed, you notice you open the door for liberal theology to come in concerning the doctrine of the Scriptures. If you start tampering with the doctrine of the Scriptures, then all of the doctrines begin to fall and to crumble. Let me just give you some examples from history. Clement of Alexandria in the 2nd century. Origen of the 3rd century. Jerome of the 4th century. All of these quote-unquote church fathers, I prefer the term church writers, quote-unquote church writers, they were heretics, but all of them opposed the doctrine of dictation. All three of them introduced doctrinal error into the churches. Again, I believe the rise of liberalism can be attributed to a removal of inspiration by dictation. You think about Princeton University, the example that I gave you last time of Originals Only Inspiration, B.B. Warfield. B.B. Warfield went to study doctrine, theology, liberal theology in Germany. He came back to America and introduced false doctrine. Consider again the door that we open when we say that God did not give us His words word for word. Now, Satan has his counterfeit for inspiration. Satan will give direct dictation from the spirit world. I want you to see this in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. I want you to understand that we must be discerning because many false religions speak of direct dictation. And yet, we fundamental Baptists have problems with the idea that God gave us word for word, every word in the Bible. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ," here's the test, "is come in the flesh is of God." Alright, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God incarnate. He's come in the flesh. "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." It's already in the first century, how much more so it is today. Let me give you a couple of examples of Satan's counterfeit for inspiration. Direct dictation. Direct dictation of his error. Muhammad and the Quran. According to this false theory, this counterfeit of Satan, Muhammad was supposedly given the Quran by the angel Gabriel. That is heresy, that is false teaching. But again, that's Satan's counterfeit of inspiration, direct dictation. It's the very words supposedly given by Gabriel. You think also of Joseph Smith and the Book of Mormon, supposedly given by Angel Moroni. Moroni, whatever you want to say it. You think about this, that's a counterfeit of Satan of direct dictation. Dictation, inspiration. Let me give you several quotes here from others about word-for-word inspiration. First of all, I do not agree with John Calvin in many points of theology, especially regarding salvation and the election and all of those things. But listen to his statement here about direct dictation of Scripture. Whosoever then wishes to profit in the Scriptures, let him first of all lay this down as a settled point, that the law and the prophets are not a doctrine delivered of men, but dictated by the Holy Spirit. He also said elsewhere, the ancient prophecies were dictated by Christ. End quote. Dr. Lewis Gossin said this, the Bible is not a book to make under his protection. It is a book which God dictated to them. In other words, it's not just made under his protection or his superintendence, but God dictated the words to them. B.H. Carroll, Baptist theologian, said this, the second observation is that the propelling power in the speaking or writing was an impulse from the Holy Spirit. They, the inspired men, became instruments by which the Holy Spirit spoke or wrote. Take, for instance, that declaration in 2 Samuel 23:2, where David said, the Spirit of Jehovah spake by me, and His word was upon my tongue. In Acts 1:16, we find that the utterances of David were being studied. We have a declaration that the Holy Spirit spake by the mouth of David concerning Judas. And in the third chapter of Acts, we have another declaration of the same kind. Always the speaker or writer was an instrument of the Holy Spirit, end quote. Richard Hooker, an English theologian, said this, they neither spoke nor wrote one word of their own, but uttered syllable by syllable as the Spirit put it into their mouth. No otherwise than the harp or the lute doth give a sound according to the discretion of his hands that holdeth and striketh it with skill, end quote. King James I, who authorized, was the human authorization of the King James Bible, said the whole Scripture is dictated by God's Spirit. C.H. Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, said each sentence was dictated by the Holy Spirit. Again, others have taught in the past dictation, inspiration. John R. Rice said this in the book, Our God-Breathed Book, the Bible. Is the word dictation hateful? Then liberals and infidels made it hateful. Men too anxious to please unbelievers and too anxious to disavow the straw man of, quote, mechanical dictation, end quote, have avoided and feared the term. But that is not straight thinking. And it is not quite intellectually honest, it seems to me. Griffith Thomas's book is labeled, God Spake All These Words. And that quotation from Exodus 20 verse 1, referring to the words of the Ten Commandments, is really a proper name for a book about the inspiration of the Bible. Well, if God gave all the words in the Bible, then is not that dictation? Let me say that again. Well, if God gave all the words in the Bible, then is not that dictation? Suppose I dictate a letter to a secretary. That means I tell her word for word what to write. Well, did not God tell the men who wrote the Bible word for word what to write? End quote. Let me give you also a quote from Lorraine Bettner. Lorraine Bettner said this, in human affairs, for instance, the man of business dictates his letters to his secretary in his own words in order that they may contain his exact meaning. He does not assume that his secretary will correctly express important, delicate, and complicated matters which might be given him in general terms. Much less would the Holy Spirit say to his penman, write to this effect. The Bible assumes to speak concerning a number of things which are absolutely beyond the reach of man's wisdom. The nature and attributes of God. How can we understand that? If God could be understood, and I'm interjecting this, if God could be understood, then he's not God. So how are we going to write those things, the concepts of God, unless God gives us word for word, the prophets and the apostles? Continuing this quote, the nature and attributes of God, the origin and purpose of man and of the world. Let me interject again. No one was there but God. How are they going to understand that unless God gives it word for word? Continuing this quote, man's fall into sin and his present helpless condition. The plan of redemption, including our Lord's substitutionary life and death. The glories of heaven and the torments of hell. More than a general supervision is necessary if the truth concerning these great and sublime subjects is to be given without error and without prejudice. Inerrancy requires that God shall choose his own words, end quote. How can you write? How could Paul or anyone else write about a literal lake of fire? No man has ever seen that unless God gives word for word a description of the lake of fire. How can you understand salvation? You see, what would we choose for salvation? Simple man would choose a works-based salvation. That's what we see in all religions in the world, except true Christianity. Again, as you understand this, God gave the very words of Scripture. So what about some examples that we see in Scripture? Notice, first of all, Numbers chapter 12. Let me confirm this by giving you some examples that require an exact word inspiration. Numbers chapter 12, notice with me verses 1 and following. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed, here's the real issue here, spirit of jealousy, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now notice this parenthetical statement here. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth, and end of parenthetical statement. Notice this statement. Now here's what I want to point out. Would the meekest man on the earth write that statement unless he was told by the Spirit of God to write that statement? You know, that'd be like a teacher standing up and saying, I'm the most humble teacher in the world today. Well, he just revealed that he's not the most humble teacher in all the world. Again, Moses, the meekest man on the earth, would not write this about himself unless God told him to write it. All right, so what about the prophet Balaam? Notice Numbers 22. Numbers 22, verse 18. Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord, my God, to do less or more. What's happening in this passage? God controlled his tongue. He could not curse Israel, though he wanted to, because he wanted the money from Balak. It's interesting, Josephus writes this about this situation. Thus did Balaam speak by inspiration, as not being in his own power, but moved to say what he did by the divine spirit. End quote. Notice also in Numbers 22 here, a dumb donkey was used by God to speak his words. Notice verses 22 and following. Numbers 22, verse 22. And God's anger was kindled because he went. All right, so his anger was kindled against Balaam here. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. That's a dangerous situation to have God stand as an adversary against you. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself under the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again. Now he's very angry because she's injured his foot. The angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. You dumb donkey. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. Notice, God spoke through this mouth, not using the personalities of the ass, this donkey. And she said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?" Now here's what's really strange. Balaam talks back to the donkey. And Balaam said unto the ass, "Because thou hast mocked me." Remember, there were two others with Balaam. He's been mocked. "I would," so his pride has been injured here, "I would there were a sword in thine hand, for now would I kill thee." And the ass said unto Balaam, "Am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden, ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? Have I ever done this before?" she asks. And he said, "Nay." Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face as he realizes he could be a dead man. God spoke through the mouth of the dumb donkey. 1 Samuel chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10. See here the example of King Saul of Israel. 1 Samuel chapter 10 verses 9 through 12. I want you to see this is before he rebelled against God. 1 Samuel 10 verses 9 and following. "And so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came thither to the hill, and behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them." He was not a prophet. "And it came to pass, when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets, when the people said one to another, 'What is this that has come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?' And one of the same place answered and said, 'But who is their father?' Therefore it became a proverb, 'Is Saul also among the prophets?' And when he had made an end of prophesying, he came to the high place." Notice here also chapter 19. Chapter 19. This is after he was already under the judgment of God. 1 Samuel 19 verse 23. "And he went thither to Naoth," in Ramah, "and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. And he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore they say, Is Saul also among the prophets?" The Spirit of God was speaking through a man who is in rebellion against God. Again, I want you to consider, even Balaam. Balaam wanted what Balak offered, the money, the riches to curse Israel. But every time he opened his mouth to curse Israel, God blessed Israel through Balaam's mouth. God took control of their mouth. God spoke through his holy prophets. Now, as we consider this, which view of inspiration best describes your understanding of how God gave his written word? But let me point out something we must be careful of. Our view of inspiration will have a big impact on our view of other doctrines. Once we start tampering with inspiration and preservation, other doctrines are open to reconsideration. You know, many have trouble believing in a word-for-word inspiration. Let me close with this verse. Hosea 8:12 says, I have written to him, to Ephraim, the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. You think about this, God has revealed all these things to us. And I believe, to a large degree, He's even revealed to us how He gave us His words. And yet many consider it a strange thing today. Why? Because we've gotten away from the Word of God. Many have started to tamper with the Word of God. They've tampered with the doctrine of the Scriptures. And I believe that's one reason why. One reason why we have so much liberal theology coming into fundamental Baptist churches today. You start messing with word-for-word inspiration, and you've opened the door for strange doctrines to come in. Even as Harry Emerson Fosdick said, our ideas of the method of inspiration have changed. Verbal dictation, inerrant manuscripts, uniformity of doctrine, all such ideas have become incredible in the face of the what he calls facts. Many churches have left a word-for-word inspiration. And after time, those churches become very liberal. Father, I pray that you would help us to remain true to your word, even regarding the process of inspiration. How many churches are now liberal because of tampering with what your word had to say about even the process and how you gave your words? Oh God, in these last days, help us to avoid compromise and the confusion that's so prominent today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.